swiveled its belly-mounted weapon to shoot. There was no noise or muzzle flash from the odd device, yet a wide section of the wooden baseboard was torn apart, splinters flying everywhere, and the tiny body of the mouse was reduced to bleeding hamburger. The other droids noted the kill in mechanical precision and returned to their long vigil. The Norms should have arrived many hours ago. There had definitely been activity at the front door early that morning, but the Norm males had departed, claiming to return post-haste with vehicles to ferry away the store's weapons. The mini-comps operating the droids now could comprehend that was non-true information, and such a trick wouldn't be allowed to occur again. Their 1mm HK needlers would annihilate as many of the Norms as possible upon the next confirmed sighting. Not again would they wait and attempt to kill the entire group in a single volley. For expediency's sake, efficiency would have to be overlooked in favor of simple force. There was certainly enough fuzzy logic in their programming to handle such a tactical change. A thunderous explosion engulfed the front of the store, shards of glass flying everywhere. Even as the machines rocked to the concussion, two more blasts ripped the floor apart. The ceiling suddenly collapsed as a wave of chemical flame washed through the pre-dark establishment. Rushing through the billowing smoke, two of the dented droids reached the sidewalk and swept the area for viable targets, their needlers silently sending out probing waves of death. Cars jumped as the barrage of 1mm needles punched through chassis and engines, every window along the entire street shattering under the arrival of the deadly, depleted uranium hollow point slivers. But there was no reaction to the attack from any of the buildings. No screams of pain, sounds of running feet, or even return fire from primitive flintlocks. Just the sounds of tinkling glass and the crowing cackle of the fire inside the destroyed building. A few minutes later, the third droid stumbled from the burning pawn shop, its silvery hull badly dented and dragging a damaged limb behind. Gathering close, the three machines conversed for a microsecond, the masers from their vidcams strobing as they exchanged binary information. Then the damaged droid limped around a corner, and the other two went back into the raging inferno to wait in the thick smoke for the expected arrival of the Norm looters. On the roof of a movie theater situated on the opposite corner from the pawn shop, JB lowered the mirror he'd been using to watch the street below and nodded.
Damn it, it worked.
The armorer tucked the plastic square away for safekeeping. Also lying prone on the rooftop, Christy, Mildred, and Jack quietly finished reloading their 40mm Gren launchers and started crawling for the fire escape attached to the rear of the building. Reaching the ladder first, Christy dropped her weapon over the side, then slid down the ladder's iron railing, her gloved hands becoming hot from the friction before she reached the ground. As she stepped away from the fire escape, Ryan handed her back the combination blaster he'd caught just as Jack arrived. Doc was next, and finally JB landed.
One droid. Bad leg. Moving to the west.
Dean, go.
Revving the purring engine, Dean drove off on the motorcycle. Rolling out of the alleyway, he took a sharp turn onto the side street, watching carefully for the damaged machine. Dean knew the droids had the ability to walk along the sides of buildings, but hopefully this one couldn't do that with a damaged leg. If it could, this whole gamble could go sour, and they'd be back to square one trying to find the gateway. Coasting to a stop at an intersection jammed with rusted cars and overturned buses, Dean throttled down the muffled engine and peeked around both corners. Only a block away, he spotted the machine limping down the middle of the left road, traveling between the line of dead vehicles. Retreating slightly to be less visible, Dean watched as it went past the next intersection, then took the following right turn. The boy gave a bird call, and the rest of the companions rolled into view with their bikes bristling with weaponry. Holding up two fingers, Dean gestured to the right, already moving after the slow machine. Soon the others were in hot pursuit, zigzagging their bikes between the ancient cars, avoiding the potholes and open manholes. In passing, Ryan noted that the rims of the manholes weren't ringed with rust, so somebody had been checking the sewer systems very recently. Maybe those corpses on the vista outside the city weren't the only pirates to get past the jungle apes. Straight ahead, Dean darted into an alleyway, and Ryan followed close behind, trying to catch up with him. Increasing their own speed, everybody else reached the father and son moments later, just as they were going by a group of lizards tearing apart the bloody corpse of what appeared to be a large bat.
From the sewer?
Makes sense. Bats love tunnels. They hate the sunlight.
Need darkness for food. Or something to scare out?
Those manhole openings are too small for a droid or an ape. Just right for people, though.
Using his butane lighter, the Deathlands warrior ignited the flamethrower's propane pre-burner and drove one-handed, the other supporting the wand and hose. As the motorcycles cut through the rear of the gas station, the alleyway ended on a major boulevard divided by trees on a grassy median. Checking both ways, neither Ryan nor Dean could see signs of their prey. The road was clear for blocks in either direction. Only a few scattered vehicles stalled in the street, none of them large enough to house even a single droid.
Either it's hiding, waiting for us to leave, or the base is somewhere close.
Could be either.
Catty-cornered from the intersection was a large plaza, floored with colorful ceramic tiles, and some weird metallic structure standing 50 feet high.
Busted?
Jack stared at the towering maze of coiled steel dotted with hundreds of tiny rectangles.
That's the double spiral of a DNA helix, the basic building block of life.
Supposed to look like that?
Yes, Jack.
Damn.
Blessed Mother Gaia. Look at the middle building.
I'll be newt. There it is, in plain sight.
Fronting the tiled plaza were three great buildings of chrome and glass set in an equilateral formation. Alongside the faded name of each mirrored monolith is their corporate logo, just an artistic squiggle designed to be attention-catching. But the logo in the middle got the full attention of the companions.
That's the symbol we found written in blood in the gateway when we arrived here. This is where the chilled white coat was trying to tell us to go.
Or a void. We were never sure which it was.
I'm betting on directions, not a warning.
Somewhere inside there is a gateway. The way out.
No sign of any droids, but that doesn't mean they're not here, waiting for us.
Let them come.
With Ryan in the lead, the companions drove their bikes openly across the boulevard, trying to draw fire, poised to feed the hungry engines fuel and race to safety. But nothing occurred as they bumped over the curb and parked the vehicles behind the glittering DNA statue. Sliding off the bike, Ryan drew his blaster and gave cover as Jack paused, then sprinted for the front door. Nearing the portal, he dove over some scraggly hedges and rolled behind a marble pillar. Pausing again to listen for any response to his presence, the teenager leveled his M16 M203 and checked the building's interior through the low-power scope built into the assault rifle. Nothing seemed to be moving inside the plush lobby and foyer. Raising a fist, Jack spread his fingers once, and now he and Ryan provided cover as JB crawled to the front door on his belly, only to find the heavy glass door unlocked. Shoving a spent brass cartridge under the lower hinge, the armorer jammed the door open, and Ryan raced inside, the pre-burner illuminating the dim interior with an eerie blue light. Taking position behind a cigarette machine, Ryan surveyed the area, his nerves keyed to battle pitch. But nothing stirred among the ancient furniture. The carpeted lobby was dark beyond the wash of sunlight from the glass walls in front, the air oddly scented with dust. The rest of the company charged into the office building, quickly spreading out to find cover. Doc was the last, and as he dashed into the lobby, the door abruptly swung shut and locked with an audible click. Instantly, everybody shifted positions and started wildly firing their weapons. Uzi and M16 rounds tore up the carpeting and walls. Just then, the ceiling tiles swung apart on disguised hinges, and a pair of robotic blasters dropped into view, the tiny barrels hissing death. Only a blur in the air, the crisscrossing lines of 1mm rounds stitched across the lobby, chewing a path of destruction along the carpeting, tearing apart tables and chairs until hitting the front windows. The slim needles slapped into the resilient plexiglass, becoming solidly embedded in the clear plastic. Standing from behind a newspaper dispenser, Ryan hosed a 3-second spray from the flamethrower at the closest needler, the lance of fire brightly illuminating the interior. Dripping flames, the weapon gave only a short burst, then shorted out.
Shit.
Ryan turned to get the second needler, and saw it was already trashed, torn to pieces under the combined fury of the chattering Uzi and M16 rapid fires.
Better.
Wearily lighting their pressurized lanterns, the companions placed the lamps in different locations before starting to move forward. Immediately, three droids...